The Emperor's New Clothes of Transgenderism by Brandon Charles. Hans Christian Andersen's classic folktale, The Emperor's New Clothes, tells the story of an emperor who loved donning extravagant outfits. One day, the emperor heard of two weavers who could create a stunning outfit. They promised that it would be very beautiful and stylish, but would be completely invisible to anyone foolish or unfit for their job. The clothes didn't exist in reality. The weavers simply wanted to steal the emperor's silk. But they were successful in convincing everyone in the kingdom that their unbelievable lie was the truth, because everyone was afraid of being badly perceived. They pretended they could see the clothes and ceaselessly praised the outfit. The charade reached a head when the emperor put on a parade to show off his new clothes. Everyone felt pressured into saying the outfit was beautiful, even though the emperor was merely parading in his underwear. Finally, a child stopped the madness, pointing out the obvious truth that the emperor wasn't wearing any clothes. Everyone, including the emperor himself, had to embarrassingly admit that he wasn't wearing anything. Unfortunately, recent days have presented some disturbing parallels. Transanity. If you're familiar with the current madness regarding those people claiming to be transgender, then you know what I'm talking about. Even though a person cannot change his or her sex, society coerces us to affirm that person's, quote, authentic self through self-defined and even invented genders. As a result, many Christians, myself included, have sadly acquiesced to a transgender person's preferred pronouns. There has been a well-thought process to move us from the obvious and long-accepted conclusion that there is a psychological disorder to believe you are someone you are not, to our current environment where it is demanded that we view this abnormal thinking as normal. In 1994, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual 4 replaced transsexualism with gender identity disorder. In 2013, DSM-5 replaced gender identity disorder with gender dysphoria and articulated that gender nonconformity is not in itself a mental disorder. Our society's insistence on being inclusive and tolerant means we are socially obligated to accept a person's transition, even if such a thing is biologically impossible. Failure to do so can cause devastating consequences, from merely being called names to losing one's livelihood. We are a very short way, even in the U.S., that the failure to use preferred pronouns will result in jail time for the offender. Let's call this phenomenon transanity. Transanity, as an expression of the transgender agenda, is an ideology that is fundamentally opposed to God and His created order. It is built on lies, and although this violates God's command not to lie as found in Exodus 20:16, the bigger problem is that transanity is a blatant act of defiance against the way God created humanity. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Genesis 1:27. The elimination of gender through language. How can one believe he or she can defy God's binary of male and female in creation? Partly because of the manipulation of language by transgender activists as they try to create new categories of being and relating. We've already seen language manipulation in the change of, quote, boyfriend-girlfriend to, quote, partner. Woman becomes birthing person, or person with uterus. If a woman believes she is a man, and then she gets pregnant, she becomes, quote, a seahorse dad. These terms are very silly, but they're also very dangerous. We use language to give our world meaning. The left understands this very well and therefore wants to remove gender from language. If they can successfully change all our speech regarding sex, then they can get society to believe the lie that gender is, quote, fluid. Appropriately, this is where the term non-binary comes in. For centuries, pagan societies have had a strange fascination with, quote, the third gender. This includes the Native American Two-Spirit and Indian Hedras. But today, this manifests as people, mainly women, getting a buzz cut and claiming that their pronouns are they, them. These days, a person does not even have to change his or her appearance to be declared non-binary. The person simply decides that he or she is neither male nor female based on a feeling. Of course, there is a huge problem with this. A transgender person makes decisions based upon his or her heart. But the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked, corrupted by a sin nature, Jeremiah 17:9. But rather than acknowledge transgenderism as sin and illness, society wants to affirm it. In 2019, gender identity disorder was removed from the World Health Organization's list of mental illnesses. The people pushing this agenda want us to believe that transsanity is a normal way of life. When we speak out against it, they call us transphobic for the purpose of making us seem like the ones with the mental illness. Consequences of transsanity. But as Christians, we should not bow down to transsanity's demands, since this ideology has severe negative consequences. Our headlines are now filled with stories of men competing and dominating in women's sports. Men are naturally stronger and less prone to injury than women, but those pushing transsanity will not admit this. Pursuing transsanity puts one's health at great risk. Transgender women taking estrogen have a 93% increased risk of heart disease compared to regular men. Transgender men with testosterone have a 22 times increased risk of cardiovascular ailments compared to regular men and a 63% increased risk compared to regular women, according to the European Journal of Endocrinology. Young children are being manipulated with irreversible damage to appease, quote, gender-affirming clinicians, parents, and a bloodthirsty culture. Nowadays, if a teenager has trauma or mental health problems, a clinician can essentially bully him or her into transitioning. This will often be done without the knowledge or consent of the parents, and it will be done without much deliberation. Finally, there are troubling cases of male prisoners being moved to the same space as female prisoners. If you don't think that men will claim that they are women to take advantage of this, you don't know human nature. I'm convinced that transgender ideology is a doctrine of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1. Indeed, many aspiring transgender people and their allies will happily adopt satanic imagery or mannerisms. Fittingly, transsanity seeks to destroy our society from the inside. It wants to remove the concept of gender entirely so it will allow us to fall into sexual immorality. What should we do? So what should we do as Christians? It's important to remember that God calls us to love our enemies, Matthew 5:43-48. And for all the intents and purposes, the LGBTQIA+ brigade is our enemy. But let's be clear. This does not mean affirming one's preferred pronouns or gender. We do not love others by going along with their lies. Rather, we should tell people the truth in love. We should call transgender people to repentance while telling them about the joy of the Lord. God loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die for our sins, John 3:16, and that includes the sin of corrupting God's order. Likewise, we must be brave. It might be costly, but we must stop giving in to the demands of transsanity. We must be willing to call out this grievous sin, lest it continue to propagate. The only way to put a stop to this madness is to call it out and to lead people to Christ. Thank you for listening to TruthScript. This article and many others can be found at truthscript.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube. If you haven't already, please like, share, and subscribe for more content.